Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was head or tail.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Talk about the movie. I'm like Basket Case.
Hey, guess what? Hey! Assaw, dude! It's the Who Goes There podcast.
It's the Who Goes There podcast.
Who Goes There podcast? Welcome to the episode. It's number 286. Welcome. This is Jorge.
It's 287.
Are you no.
Bro, I just posted 285.
Are you?
It's 286.
It's 286, you fucking fuck.
So, bro, I just posted 285. It's 287.
It's 287.
Anywho.
I'm used to having one in the bag.
This is Jorge.
This is Matt.
This is Matty Rhett.
What?
And this is
Ready
CNN.
Ding Dongs. Ready Ding
Dongs. Bro, don't take my ding dong.
That's what it was.
That's my ding dong.
You should change your name on Discord to Ready Ding Dong.
Ready Ding Dong.
I'm going to do it.
You sons of bitches. You sons of bitches. There's a show to host. Don't ding dong. Don't ding dong. That's my ding dong.
You should be Jorge Ding Dong.
I'm going to
be Georgie Ding Dong.
Georgie Ding Dong. Hands off my ding dong, Georgie.
I'm definitely going to be Georgie Ding Dong.
I hate you both
so
much.
Oh, shit. So how you doing, fellas?
Well, it's doing better before you touch my ding dong.
Ding dong. It's going to be good for us now.
It's going to be great.
You need to ditch my ding dong right now.
Man.
Everything's good. Everything's great.
We officially, we don't talk about it much, but we officially live in a post-Trump America.
Yeah, that's great. There's COVID vaccines that are supposedly in the works.
95. Well, there's two that are 95% effective, which is super great.
I feel like one of these days Hans is going to go back and check the tapes and be like, oh, Matt said months ago that there was going to be a vaccine that came out right after the election. There you go.
Well, okay.
You're welcome, America. I did that.
On that note.
Not only did they start it right after the election, like the week after, but then various countries all have them now. Like Russia has theirs.
Yep. Russia's got like three of them.
And China's been testing theirs in Brazil for months.
Yep. But none of this is talked about.
What the fuck?
And suddenly, magic.
Well, it's almost like the leaders of the known world have been like, you know what?
And what's her name?
We should wait until this Trump fella's out.
Called that too, Ghislaine Maxwell or whatever. She's in isolation after COVID broke out in her ward. Mm-hmm. She's going to disappear too on some island. Where's Weinstein?
Did you guys see that fucking...
Where's Waldo?
I found that motherfucker.
Rudy Giuliani press conference where Homeboy was literally melting.
Yeah, it was good.
No, but I heard that his kid and Bruh. Trump's kid and like everybody got COVID. I'm like, good.
Good.
That's what you get.
Anyway, that's all the politics talk you get out of us.
Dirty scum.
Bucks.
Clearly unbiased, centrist political takes.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's a little early for all that.
That's something.
I'm glad they couldn't see my face.
It's
over
not
here.
Too early for that. It's just the right time for that. Start it now and carry us into the show.
Carry us into the movie. Okay. Anywho, Matthew, how you been?
Good, man. Like I said, I already said that, but you know, I watched a lot of movies.
Still not working.
Still not working, making more money not working than I was actually working. So that's tight.
Socialism is tight.
Watched a bunch of movies. There's like five new K-pop records that dropped. So that's been fun.
That album got very good reviews.
Dude. The funny thing is
eight tracks in 30 minutes and they span a variety of styles.
They do. And I'm not loving the new record, but like it's
but you accept it for existing.
It's doing huge things right now. But that new Twice record, that fucks. That new G-Friend, that fucks. That's good stuff.
G-Friend? Good friend?
Good friend.
Good love and special sauce?
Right. Now I like G-Friend even more.
Good friends.
It's good friends.
You have a good friend in your
good
living room.
Good friends. I like it.
A good friend is a dog or a pet.
Yeah. Good friend.
Good friends. Good friends.
I love it. He does that shit to your dog, and I love it. He does it to my dog, too.
See? You can love it, George. You can love it.
Well, now I missed something, and I'm in shock.
Of good friends?
Yeah. Oh, that's the thing that Sophia started, right?
Well, hi, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia. There See, we go. That's how you do it naturally.
I know, but it wasn't like all like self-referencing, and it was just natural. Well,
not everything has to be self-referencing and
not everything has to be natural. Not everything has to be natural.
The new Aesop album. Speaking of albums,
he's Korean.
Is super fucking good. It's called I forget because it's it's called Spirit World Field Guide, and it's real fucking good. Highly recommended. Mm. I slept on that the first few days.
Don't sleep.
I sleep.
He only slept a few days though.
Yeah.
So he woke up pretty.
I'm woke.
Hell yeah.
That's right.
What about you? You listen to anything?
I am listening. Basically, I mean, I've been stuck on that clipping album.
Yeah, of course.
What is this clipping album?
Yeah. Hip hop artists, dude.
Okay. It's the artist is clipping.
Yeah. Clipping, it's three people, actually. But yeah, they had an album last year, too. And this is a good companion piece. And last year's was very like horror themed and produced. Mm. And this one is like much fucking more fucked up because the last year got much more fucked up. Mm-hmm. But there's a band called Crack Cloud out of Canada. And they have an album as well.
A lot of crack. Mm,
yeah. And they have an album called Pain Olympics. And it's not nearly as heavy as it sounds. Ooh. It's really fun.
Did you ever watch any of the Pain Olympics?
The BME Pain Olympics? Yeah,
did you ever watch any of that? Uh-uh. You're not familiar with it?
I'm not.
We'll have to bring you up to speed.
Oh.
On that note.
There's also a fellow named William Baczynski. Who does ambient instrumental stuff, and he has a new album.
Jewish fella?
It's or with Polish.
That name, yeah.
Jewish, either way, defeated quickly. And but the name of the album is Lamentations, and it's a fantastic ambient experimental album. If you like that sort of thing, there's no vocals.
Big surprise for an album called Lamentations. Yeah.
Well, and it is though. It's like the opener is heavy as fuck. I told someone that, and they're like, "Where are the riffs?" And I'm like, "No. It's more like an interior black hole sucking your will to live heavy, not like chunky riffs heavy.
It's like, dude, it's more like spiritually heavy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Good. It's more like it's not hard. It's heavy. There's a difference.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I do. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Do you know how to sink a Polish submarine? You knock on the door. There you go. I watched a Polish movie this week called Nobody Sleeps in the Woods Tonight. And, I love that movie. Mm. That movie's so good. Because I'm doing all my 2020 movies now. I'm getting the train rolling.
I got to catch up because I have not seen shit.
Rhett started putting in work and I was like, damn, I can't just let him outdo me. Otherwise, we're going to have a bad show. But Nobody Sleeps in the Woods Tonight is basically...
Do you want me to take you?
To Flavortown?
From behind.
To Funky Town.
I sleep.
It's...
I don't sleep
This is what he does. Wow. It's basically like the Polish version of Wrong Turn. And I'm all about it. It's okay. Just hillbilly-looking, deformed people in the woods. And then there's like a group of people who are then murdered. And it's pretty good. I saw another movie that Rhett watched, I think, called The Cleansing Hour.
I began The Cleansing Hour, to be fair.
The demon says, keep it 100. And he says, this is tight, 3 times.
And therefore, he gave it 3 stars for that.
That was tight.
I feel like I need to see this.
I gave it 1 star for each, this is tight.
It's got so many stars.
It's not terrible. Like, the people suck.
That's why I just wasn't in the mood for it. So I don't have an informed opinion, but I didn't watch the whole thing.
The people suck.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'd watched Wolf of Snow Hollow that week and The Wolf House, and I was like, fuck this. I don't want this.
I tried to, I started yeah, watching that wolf, one, but I got the busy. Wolf
Man.
Which one?
The Wolf of Snow Hollow.
Wall Street. Okay.
You didn't.
I started, but I was just trying to cook while I was doing it, and I wasn't paying attention. I also watched Run, which I think Rhett watched.
I did.
What did you think?
What did you think?
I thought it was pretty good.
So did I. I thought it was pretty good. They did a lot with the confinement aspect.
There was very Misery meets Munchausen.
Yeah, for sure. It was Misery with Mom as fucking Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
But they like the you know, they give the list of her ailments or supposed ailments. I don't want to give spoilers either, but there's a scene though where she's like you know, crawling around the house. And it's just like, it reminded me of a survival horror game, but instead of like, you know, Dead Space where you're running out of oxygen, she's running out of oxygen because she has these ailments. Yeah. And then she has to get to this, and then she has to tether herself to this, and then she's got like the body issue, you know. And that was like a really tense, really good sequence. I hadn't seen anything like that.
So there
no internet.
That part that you're talking about, the first part of it where she's crawling with the water in her mouth, the whole time I'm like, what the fuck is she doing? Why is she doing?
So was I.
What is happening? And then she breaks a window, right? Mm-hmm. But instead of just like hitting the window and breaking it. What do you mean she can't?
Okay, that's what I said to Sophia. I said, why doesn't she just break it?
Sophia,
and Sophia's like, because she's holding up her body with her arms. And I'm like, ah.
Okay, but still, when she gets there, you don't even have to hold up your body. You lean to one side, you have an arm, you hit the window.
She doesn't.
It's doable. No, like, I'll break George's fucking mirror right now.
We could do it, but this bitch is fucking like paraplegic.
Okay,
and shit.
So instead of doing the logical thing and hitting a window with like a hammer, she gets a bunch of extension cords and a soldering iron and drags this hot ass soldering iron across the roof, puts it on the window for a prolonged period of time,
and then spits
water on it.
It's great.
So it's a smart way of like science breaking the window. It shatters the glass. Well, right. It's all science-y.
Well, that's the thing, but breaking a window. I've broken a window before.
I've broken plenty of windows. I definitely haven't broken a window like that.
I appreciate they didn't. Windows don't break clean. Okay.
And she's going to be. That one would have.
She's got much cleaner. And then she takes the time to put a fucking big ass cloth thing on the corner.
Are y'all telling me that she supposedly got a window hot enough with a soldering iron to cause thermal shock to glass? Ixnay
and
that ombre.
And she couldn't
put water on it?
Nah.
It's a small window.
She couldn't.
Even worse.
She couldn't just hit the window with a hammer, but she could drag the soldering iron with the extension cords, a mouthful of water, and drag the blanket that she put on the broken glass to climb over.
I thought it was a great sequence,
yes, but it just logically makes no fucking sense.
I disagree.
If she had a blowtorch, maybe.
And Sarah Paulson, as always.
She good.
Very good.
I don't like her.
You don't have to like her. And you know what? In this, you're not supposed to like her because she is definitive old white bitch.
She definitely is.
For real. She's a fucking bitch ass mom.
She's a hella bitch.
And she wants to help you, but like not really.
Hella bitch.
And I thought it was pretty fun. I wouldn't give
pretty
it more
fun.
Than... Well, what was? I mean, you know.
What would you give it?
Three.
Same.
Three or three and a half, perhaps, just because the performances were very good. And I like the minimalism of it. Like, they really, you know, they really challenged their protagonist there.
Yeah, and then anytime you have somebody in a wheelchair fall down the stairs, I'm totally in.
It's always a plus.
I should have given it an extra star just for that.
Well,
okay, hold on. Nope, hold on. So you're telling me she can't hold up a fucking hammer to break a window, but she can lift her wheelchair in her arms and put it over that thing?
Yes.
No, fuck you. You're wrong.
At that vantage
That's
point,
dumb.
At that vantage nope. point, it's different. She's pushing.
She's using a fulcrum.
But so she can't hold a fucking hammer and bink a window, but she can just like.
I'm gonna do some research and tell you why you're wrong.
I wanna see you floor press a fucking wheelchair right now.
I'll do it.
I wanna see it.
I'll do it. He's got a bike on the wall.
I roll in a fucking wheelchair right now.
Do it, bitch.
Do it right now. We planned this.
Let's see you do it.
I also watched Spiral on Shudder. It's 2020. It's a pretty cool like cult story, keeps you guessing till the end.
And the guys are a gay couple.
Yeah, in the 90s. And something weird happens every 10 years and they think that they're targeting like gay couples.
Well, it seems like they kind of are.
Have you watched it?
I began it and I didn't finish it.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything because it's a new movie, but it's cool. They do a lot of stuff where it's like, well, is this really what's happening? Or is this person crazy? Because they establish that he does take meds, you know? And so there's all this stuff where it's like, what's actually happening?
That's not pretty good.
Meds.
That's not pretty good at all. You take meds? That's pretty bad.
You take antipsychotics?
You take meds? Dude,
yeah, that means darkness falls shit right there.
Psychotic.
Wow. It's like
you take antidepressants? That means you might get depressed.
And then I watched Random Acts of Violence and His House on Netflix.
Okay. His House, what's your verdict on that? I haven't watched it yet.
It's fucking great. I thought for a long time that it was subtitled. I don't know why. Maybe just because
I kept mentioning Sudanese refugees.
So maybe I kept putting it off because I think it was subtitled.
And then you tried fucking Amulet, and that had subtitles.
Oh, it's dude, Russian Amulet. I didn't even get to finish. I got 10 minutes in. I'm like, I'm going Mimi's. His House, though.
You ever go Night Night?
His House is real good. Real good. I don't want to say anything about like the story or anything.
It's available on Netflix.
So round up your recommendations. You got three that are
okay.
Good.
So yeah, out of this, I would definitely watch His House. Mm-hmm. If you like Matt style movies, basically Friday the 13th type of bunch of people in the woods. Nobody Sleeps in the Woods Tonight, and Run was pretty good.
Did either? And a lot of people would like Run more than we do.
And
like,
Run is free, you know, on Hulu.
Did either of you guys watch Freaky?
Not yet.
I don't think it's streaming yet.
It's going to be streaming in a couple weeks. It is still at drive-ins though.
Freaky?
And I want to see it this weekend.
All right.
Yeah, with your good friend.
Yes, with good friends. Good friends.
All right, Rhett, what'd you watch?
I'll tell you what Rhett watched.
He Uncle Roger did.
Hold on, I got an order to this stuff. First, I want to get to the rewatches, okay?
Uncle Roger upset.
I watched a film called Blue Velvet.
It's a good film.
Just watch that like last month?
I watched it last year.
Okay.
In a theater at midnight.
Last year could be 3 years ago. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Last month different, could it's be a different 3 years film ago. Now
already. Great fucking movie. I watched one of Matt's favorites and to see how it held up because I hadn't seen it since the theater when it came out. It Follows. One of Matt's absolute favorite films.
Wait, what? One of Matt's favorite.
He loves the soundtrack. He loves how
the movie doesn't make any goddamn sense. No, so we didn't do that movie
we talked about it.
Was that one of the ones where we thought it was like too good, where like we couldn't talk about it?
Yeah, it was back in the days when we didn't think we could talk about good.
We didn't like doing episodes with just the two of us, and we didn't like doing movies that both of us liked because
it would be a boring show.
Yeah,
that's how pretty we much. Felt at the time.
Incorrect.
And then Starry Eyes was the episode that changed that.
It's a great movie. Too bad their follow up was that Pet Sematary remake, but. What do you think of It Follows, Matt? I was thinking about you while watching it.
It's got a good premise. There's like a lot of the weird time ambiguity thing. And I don't mean like, you know,
that thing's cool as fuck now. It's aged well. And I think that was the intention.
Well, probably because, you know, you don't want to date it with like, you know, pop culture references. And that's what makes Scary Movie unwatchable now.
Always.
I think It Follows is good. I like it. It's just not my favorite.
Right.
I think there's like, it's too easy to avoid. If the thing is always walking after you, it's like, I would just take a flight like from like LA to New York once a month and just hang out and then just fly back.
Well, I think the thing that got me is it's not if it kills you, it's when it kills you. And well, that's right. Why it's not even about what I thought it was a few years ago. It's just about the inevitability of death. So it's not just the sex thing and the guilt thing. And I read like some pilgrim puritanical thing into it. I guess that's there. And a part of it is like, you know, you bring yourself to your interpretation of stuff, but it's holding up really well. I went on Reddit with this fucking movie.
Big mistake.
Yeah.
There are a variety of very interesting and ridiculous theories. One of them, though, regarding that time displacement thing, is that these kids in the movie, because of course, if you recall, like they're the adults, you barely see the adults. It's like Charlie Brown, like they're not real, they're not characters. Yeah. When they show them, you see the back of them. They talk off camera, like wah, wah, wah. It's not muffled like that, but it's like that kind of thing. And and it's also it's also in Michigan, and it's all it's dilapidated, and then so. But the thing is, they seem to not be able to go beyond a certain point in the town, and so this one guy is speculating that these kids are like in a town in hell because they were kidnapped and killed, and they're stuck in this town, and that like the parents are like demons, and like they're just denizens of fucking of. And I was like, dude, you really? But
that sounds like silly business.
The more I read his theory, though, it made me realize how intricate the movie's details were.
Tomorrow, I'm in.
Well, not just that I was in, but it made me realize how intricate the movie's details were, because I was like, yeah, why did he fucking not show the parents, and why did this happen, and why this and that.
Like, and, would you show your parents, like, if you were, like, being chased by some STD, like some, you know, monster?
Well, dude, they don't show up when a girl's attacked. Like, nothing. They're never in it. They're just not in it. It's very surreal, which I think is cool. Like, I'm not worried. It's not like, give me the explanation. It doesn't make sense. Like you said earlier, it doesn't make sense, but it's like dream logic. And the director's like, yeah, a lot of it is dream logic, and I leave it up to your interpretation. So, yeah, but I didn't know all these theories were swirling around the movie, you know, but the atmosphere holds up pretty fucking good. The performances, the music is cool. It made me really like think too that was like 2013 or 14.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's before the A24
synthwave
bombardment of indie horror and all that. And it was really,
it's the one to blame.
That's why I was everything, like Matt's favorite
everything
movie.
Followed.
It so followed. Shit follows.
shit follows.
Wow. Yeah. Anything else? Anything else, Brett?
Oh, those are the rewatches. Oh, I watched 3 David Fincher movies.
Okay.
Because Sophia and I have gone through David Lynch. I showed her a couple Cronenberg.
We're just doing all the Davids.
The three, there's the three Davids.
Yeah.
David Fincher, David Cronenberg, and David Lynch.
I think Fincher is my favorite of the Davids.
Well, dude, anytime I'm watching one of their movies, I'm like, they're my favorite. No, he's my favorite. They have different powers. They have different things.
They have different spirit magic.
Yeah, but Fincher is definitely the most technically proficient, I would say. That goes without saying, right? We didn't watch 7, Fight Club, and Social Network, which are great. Those are my three favorites.
That's Social Network, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
You should have watched that.
What do you mean?
You should have watched it.
Oh, she's seen it. We've seen those.
Yeah, but you should have watched it again.
I'm going to watch it again. But I wanted to watch The Game.
That's a great movie. That's great ass.
Yeah. Who is that? Pacino?
That's Pacino and fucking Devil's Advocate.
Yeah. We should do that.
No, not movie. Devil's Advocate. Something else, but it reminds me of Devil's Advocate.
Scent of a Woman?
Hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah. He wins an Oscar for that. He doesn't win for Godfather 2. He wins for Hoo-ah. Anyway, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Which is fucking good.
It's fucking holding up. Yeah. The screenplay.
Did you watch the American one or the original?
The American the one. That's the Fincher one.
Oh, right.
Yep. And Rooney Mara is just fucking all in on that. And
She's great.
Great stuff. I would have loved to see that sequel. But now it kind of sits really well just like as a
standalone.
It just ends that way.
Yep.
Like she walks off. She's like, oh, what the fuck was I even fooling myself for?
And like the rape torture scenes, like I hate to say they were done well, but like the revenge scenes.
It's fantastic.
That's what I'm.
We're going to have a bunch of those coming up.
I mean specifically about the revenge aspect of them. It's you really like, you're like, get it, girl. Like fucking.
Yeah, I
kill this.
There was
fuck.
Cheering in the theater when I saw
that. Yeah, man. No, yeah. It's a great. Yeah.
And Zodiac.
Favorite.
Zodiac, that's your favorite?
No, but it's like a favorite movie.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, having seen Mindhunter recently again and all that, I mean, you know, it's...
That movie fucks all day.
Zodiac is fucking solid shit.
I kind of like to watch Zodiac and Nightcrawler back to back because I want to pretend like they're the same person. And it's...
What, Gyllenhaal?
Yeah.
Like it was his how like he evolves into that?
He comes out of the Zodiac turning into the guy who's in Nightcrawler.
Because he gets more and more obsessive and just fucking chasing
boy.
Tragic, ugly garbage.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, now to the non-rewatches. I watched a film called Ricky O.
Yeah. The story about my fucking time.
The story of Ricky.
Of Ricky.
I just want to go hey, on record Ricky. That he has already given me the Riccio DVD back, has but not still, given me yeah. Prayer of the Roller Boys.
What'd you think of Riccio?
Riccio, what was it, 89 or so?
Tour de force.
It feels like a live action, and this is hard to do. I mean, and they just did it very naturally. It feels like a live action, hyper-violent anime.
Yeah.
Not just like the gore, but the editing, the line delivery. And this is the thing. It's not just like a super gory and creatively gory film. It's also a very strange fucking movie. Mm-hmm. Like I like the absurdist dialogue and the facial expressions and all that. So I'm on board with all of that stuff. And when I say creatively gory, like for real, like it's very fucking creative, you know, very inventive. Beyond that, like, do I love the movie? No, I don't love it. I'm sorry. I don't love it. But, and this is the thing, the other movie that approximates this, not because of how much I like it, but it, as far as feeling like a live action gory anime, is Ichi the Killer. Like, it's kind of like those two approximate the feeling of a really gory anime. But I like this one. I mean, this was more enjoyable to me.
So what you're saying is you like Ninja Scroll better.
Yeah. I always will like Ninja Scroll better.
I mean, that's undeniable. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, bro.
Fuck yeah. And bro. I like, what else we got? Oh, I watched a movie called The Assistant. The Assistant is available on Hulu, I believe, and it's about it's not a horror film, but it's basically, it's a suspense film that will feel like a really, real world horror film, depending who's watching it. A girl comes to do an internship for a Hollywood company, and it's basically modeled after Weinstein and all this. Came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of great reviews about it, so I watched it. But it's very nuanced and it's very subtle, and it's just showing like the realities you would be involved in, like as being an internship in that industry. And she's surrounded by other men, and it's basically like non-sexy Mad Men, you know. Like it's okay. And then like you know, when they show like the boss getting like big fucking deliveries of hypodermic needles. And I'm like, oh, I see what they're doing. Because I don't know if you know, but Weinstein supposedly would like shoot up his cock to keep it hard.
Shoot it up with what?
He'd shoot it up with fucking something to make his D big. He's all, no, D. And he'd like fucking slam the door and then just, you know.
He would say, slam the door on his dick. Yeah.
No D. And he would slam the door on it.
They're like, I'm going to go. And he's all, no, watch this. That's right. So anyway, the movie's very subtle though.
He's just like a fucking Resident Evil villain. He's like
pretty much
near death, and he injects like T virus in his dick, and just
I don't want to make it sound like this movie does that. It doesn't. It shows you something, well, and you fill in the gaps.
It doesn't fuck like that.
No, it does not fuck like that. But it's extremely well done and nuanced and subtle. Okay, I watched a movie called I watched Run. We already talked about that, and I watched Swallow.
Swallowed.
I was singing like that though. Like he's like, I don't know, like homeless. Like swallowed.
Is that how a homeless person would sing?
It's homeless Gavin when he's all smoked out. I don't know what the fuck that is. Okay, so
does Gavin Rossdale appear homeless to you?
Of the newer flicks or newish flicks that I've watched recently, you watched this about 2 weeks ago or last week?
Last week.
Yeah. I have very good things to say about Swallow. Like, very, very well shot. The fucking performances are great. It's more of a psychological thriller, but it's got, like, body horror stuff. It's got some real uncomfortable shit.
It'll knock your socks off.
It really will. And they did a great job of, like, analyzing subtly, like, the, you know, these arbitrary norms about shit people do with their mouths. Like, that guy puts that shit on his teeth and shit like that, and... you know, what people eat and stuff like that. But if you want to swallow, like, say, a little mini screwdriver, then you're a weirdo all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Even the marble.
I loved how it was an empowerment story. I loved, like, the climax, and I don't want to give any spoilers for that kind of, for the film. I loved the climax. Again, some of the atmosphere and the shots in this, like the color palette, I really enjoyed. And I didn't think it was, like, overbearing. It wasn't like, oh, look at the color. It wasn't like watching, like, it wasn't like a Wes Anderson movie, you know, not that I don't like Wes Anderson, but that would be off with this material.
I mean, just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that could be interesting. I don't
There's
know.
There's no Portuguese David Bowie in this.
But I would definitely recommend Swallow. And I don't know, man. I don't know if it'll crack like top five of the year, but I like it quite a bit, I gotta say.
Yeah, it was good. I don't think it'll be in my top five, though.
And I started High Tension, but as soon as the... and I was very intrigued. And it's that Aja fellow. Mm-hmm. And French lesbos and shit, right?
Matt doesn't like High Tension.
He doesn't like the story and all that. And he thinks it's ridiculous. But the gore was tight, right? As soon as the guy's shoving a piano to that guy's head when it's out of a stairway to like fucking... Sophia's like, I don't know if I can do this, so I have to watch it. I have to finish it
on my own time. Know.
I don't know.
Well, because I told her, I'm like, you know what? I'll tell you what. It's about 20 minutes in. It's I'll not going to get
any. I'll tell you what. It's about 20 minutes too long. Zing.
It's not going to get nicer. So if we're going to bow out.
I mean, it doesn't exactly get worse after that.
It doesn't get worser.
It doesn't get better either.
But yeah, so my recommendations would be, I would recommend Run, like Matt said. I would definitely recommend Swallow. I would recommend David Fincher movies all fucking day, with the exclusion of, well, not even the exclusion. I mean, what's his, that's a good question I wanted to ask you, because I know you like Fincher. What are his bottom two films to you?
I think, to me?
Yeah.
I gotta think that Panic Room is down there, although I actually really enjoy Panic Room.
I know you always defend that.
I think it's really well directed. I think it's really well done, and I think even Kristen Stewart's kind of like okay in that movie, despite her monotone delivery of basically everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think?
I would say Alien 3. And
Yeah.
And just not because it's a bad, it's just Curious Case of Benjamin Button was not my thing. And I think it's a mismatch of material with the director. It's another movie.
I haven't seen that, to be honest. I haven't seen that movie in like 15 years.
Since it came out?
I'll have to watch again.
Yeah. Well, that's what I would think. But, oh, I did forget one more, Matt, and I wanted to ask you. Did you see The Rental?
That's the...
Dave Franco directs.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you think?
I don't remember any of it. So
Jesus.
That tells you enough.
The Rental has got like, you know, a lot of... Well, some significant buzz here and there. It's James Franco's brother, Dave Franco's directorial debut.
These knives, man.
All these knives. They go up to a rental property. It's a couple couples, and they go up there and they are liars and all sorts of things. And they start wondering if they're being watched. And I don't want to give spoilers or anything,
but they are.
No, but the movie was a movie that like every it would piss me off. And then I was like, oh, that was a good idea. And then it would piss me off. I'm like, well, this is a clever idea. Yeah. Well, this is a clever idea. And then it would piss me off. And then it had like, and then it had this ending. It was like, whoa, that took a turn. But then it like ended abruptly. But then it had this little coda, like right before the credits, where I was like, ooh, that's kind of a spooky idea. And then it ended. And so then I'm like, let me sit on this. And I sat on it for a couple of days. And yeah, fuck that movie. it's got some good ideas. It got to the best idea like right at the credits to me, you know. So,
I wish you would have seen it before Tom asked about it.
Yeah, me too. But would I recommend it? I think some people would be pretty entertained by it, but just, you know, where it ends up for the time you spend with it, was it worth the investment? I don't really think so.
The juice is not worth the squeeze.
But yeah, Dave Franco, you know, he could do something. He's not a bad, it's not a bad first directing gig as far as how he helms things.
All right. That's cool.
Yep.
Cool.
What about you? What you not seen?
I only watched, well, wife and I watched, we're caught up on The Mandalorian, which
same. Well, I didn't see four. I saw three.
It
feels like a bunch of video game side quests, doesn't it?
It's doing some things that I'm not super stoked on.
I love that everybody got super pissed off about Baby Yoda eating those fucking eggs. Those fucking frog eggs.
Are you watching it too?
Yeah.
That
I haven't seen episode four.
Episode with the ice spiders, I was just kind of like, I don't know what you're doing.
They all feel like side quests.
And the newest episode, I'm like, oh, it's over? Oh.
It's like 32 minutes.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, nothing was resolved, and yet here we are. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it might be getting a little too fucking cute.
Oh, a little too fucking. A little too fucking. Wait, cute. You forgot.
A little too fucking cute. We also started and got through most of the Queen's Gambit.
I started the first episode. It's good. Netflix
highly recommended. Anya Taylor-Joy's eyeballs have never been further apart, and my God, is she adorable! Holy shit,
she's so fun.
It's beyond that. It's actually a really, really well put together limited run series. It's real good. Highly recommended.
Oh yeah, I've been watching more Bly Manor too. I think I like this season more than the first season.
Get fricked.
No, I think I do.
Can you not say frick?
I'm gonna say frick even more now.
Can you not tell me to get anything?
Is that because you have children?
No.
It's an internet thing, dude. You wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
I would because he ordered, you're like saying frick instead
he
of
ordered
fun.
An
like
it's, Xbox controller.
It's reversed.
What the frick?
He ordered an Xbox Live controller. That's what happened.
What about it?
Yeah, you don't
He see ordered it.
He ordered it. I don't know what this is.
He doesn't know what that is.
It's a vase or something.
Yeah.
What the frick?
He ordered an Xbox Live controller.
This is some memory from the internet I haven't seen.
Yeah, clearly.
This is what we do.
All right, well, we're going to be right back and talk about a movie.
Yeah.
Take a quick break, dummies.
Wait till when in Rome?
Adrenochrome.
Yeah, you want to get a kid who's about 7 or 8.
So you can. I can't believe it. He's doing it again.
Oh, I believe it. It's good.
Oh,
I like it.
Oh, shit.
You keep it no, up, right?
No, I'm good. We're good.
You got to get your kids 7 or 8.
About 7 or 8 years old before they start settling into their views.
Nah, it's forced.
Well, no.
Nah,
well, now. Let it flow. So if the kids almost spit. The problem with the infant is, yeah, sure. It's going to be a lot more mushy. You could get right to the gland. But if you want to crack the adrenochrome of someone with it, you got to be able to scare them up good. And an infant doesn't have these ideas really what's scary. It's going to top out at how scared it gets. But if it's a 7 or 8 year old, they've already got some ideas of what's scary and what's not. So, well, again, you want to get it before they settle into their views. Around 9 years old.
I mean, I know this is the third time I've heard it, but it's still so stupid. Fuck, man.
That's good.
Hey, Matthew, guess what? we're back.
Dude. I hope we were back for all of that.
Holy shit. Oh, God damn it. Anyway, Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
Can you tell the listeners about Patreon, dude?
Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast is full of amazing people that have. Podcast. You always ask me to do that, and then you interrupt me.
It makes me feel
anxiety about things. You know, it doesn't though. Is patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast. It makes me feel warm and fuzzies against my cold and pricklies because, you know, they give us money to continue doing this show and fix our software and buy new mics. And we're going to have to buy new chairs because George is putting in new floor. So, you know, help us do all those things. In return, you'll get bonus content, exclusive episodes, and some fun stuff. Like, what are we mailing out soon? We're mailing out things very soon.
Mailing out keychains. And
Amelia Leons.
Also, letters to
Patreon. We're mailing those
and
out.
And also, tapeworms coming out.
We got tapeworms coming out. We'll have our Christmas card soon.
Woo!
Yeah, I found a cool little like headband that's got a mistletoe that comes over.
Oh, we gotta take the picture.
Gonna hang it from my D. Yeah, I got an idea for it.
With new hair and everything.
I got an idea for it. We'll go over that later.
That's super cool.
Anyway, we watched a movie.
Well, the Who Goes There podcast watched a little film called Uninvited from 1987, directed by Graydon Clark, also written by that Hemi. Storing George Kennedy, Alex Cord, Clue Gulager.
Is he? Clue Gulager.
Tony Hudson, Eric Larson, Claire Carey, Bill Dremen, Rob Estes, Shari Shattuck. This is too many people. There's only 6 people on that fucking thing. Holy shit! This is a movie that is about a cat that's infected with a genetically engineered virus that escapes from a lab. The mutant feline goes on a killing spree and finds its way on board of a yacht owned by a shady businessman who's invited a group of young people to hang out.
With Clue Gulager.
With Clue Gulager. The best name ever.
More importantly, this is a King Sam pick.
This is a King Sam pick.
Which explains why we're doing this film.
Why did I wait so long? Why?
Normally, Sam is a kind and gracious king, and he just wants us to do things that make us happy. And then every now and again, he comes down from his throne, and he bequeaths upon us a movie to do.
And to be 100% million percent honest, makes me even more happy.
Yes.
This movie is badass, dude.
Yeah, I kind of...
You got to qualify that.
This movie is badass, dude. You cannot fuck with this movie.
I kind of love this movie.
I'm pretty sure you're going to like The Room if you like this
movie. No, this movie is badass.
No, this is nothing like The Room. Like,
no,
this,
what I mean... Oh, yes, it is.
No, this isn't like self-aware. This is just like...
The Room is not self-aware.
Not, yeah, no, it's not.
No, right, you not. Wish.
That's 100%
that snake's serious. On a plane.
Look, Matt, what'd you think of fucking Uninterrupted?
Oh, I love it. Like, from the first, like, 2 minutes, I'm like, oh, God, like, this is great. Everything about this is great. Nary a booby in it.
We'll talk about that.
I was a little and we watched it on Tubi, and I don't know.
There was no booby.
There was no booby on Tubi.
A PG-13 rating.
Right, I had to look, so I Googled it, I did the parental guide just to see if there was actually any tits that had been edited out. There's not. But
there's plenty of blood in this, but it's like, none of it's convincing, so they're like, yeah, PG-13.
Yeah!
Yeah, I loved everything about this movie. Some of the cuts are a little weird.
Dude, there's a little weird. Dude, this movie's got problems.
There's some interesting cuts in this. The soundtrack is phenomenal.
No, there are straight up moments where, like, it's the same 10 seconds of film.
Oh,
twice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And like when she does the little thing of champagne, like that was just copy paste. Even the cat in the lifeboat. And it's something.
It's
dude, a goddamn this, work of art is what it is.
Something else, dude. Rhett?
This movie is it's okay. Just so it's clear to everyone listening. If you've never heard of the movie, this is 1988.
I'd never heard of it.
It is like cult classic level bad. Like, so I'm actually very surprised that I hadn't heard of it before. This movie is fucking awful, but in very, 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 very interesting and singular ways. So, I mean, you know, just the premise alone, you've got like this radioactive killer cat thing on a yacht with some rich white bitches and some other people trying to get to the Cayman Islands. I have never heard the Cayman Islands uttered in a film this many times.
Yeah.
that's a drinking game with this movie. Every time they say Cayman Islands, you'll fucking die.
Or if you just gotta you drink when the cat meows.
Right. Oh God, it's the same two meows.
It's the same two meows. Dude, somebody on the sound effects board was just like meow, meow.
They're just sitting there just like spamming the meow button.
Yeah, to do the film justice, like talking about it would be best to like do a riff tracks thing to which I think they did. I think they did a riff tracks, but this is like Mystery Science Theater fucking material all over it. But I actually wanted to watch it again and at you know, make notes at 5 minutes, same. 10 minutes, 12 minutes, this, but it would be the whole movie.
Yeah.
Because this is a movie. That's why I say it's like The Room, because The Room, I've watched it a lot, as some of you know. And when you watch it a lot, like the regular fucking shit about The Room that everyone knows doesn't do it for you anymore. Like you get into the esoteric fucking nuances.
This is when you start cracking skulls open.
This movie has so much fucking crazy. It's not just bad, but it's absurdly bad. Yeah. Like how did they come up with this?
Yeah.
And the line delivery and the faces these people make.
I love it. It's got one of the best lines ever uttered in cinema history.
You're talking about?
Yeah, it's well, at least you're consistent. You're being a bitch.
You're being a stupid bitch.
Yeah, dude. I was like, oh my God, give that man an Oscar.
Well, it's great too because they have the way it's shot too. They have a lady in the forefront of the camera, and then he's saying that to another girl in the back of the frame. It's like, what is
yeah, what's going on here?
Is this like cinema verite?
And meanwhile, homegirl is like, is
is painting her nails, her toenails. Yeah. And I go, like, this is absurd comedy at its best. It's crazy, dude.
Those people were so bipolar in their emotions. They were terrified, and then they were completely relaxed.
Not only that, but they're trying to touch on things where you're like, you've got this one character who's got cabin fever and also the sea fever, and you're not quite sure if she's all there when, like, two scenes ago she was totally fine, and it's fucking mind boggling, dude. There are moments where I think that I'm watching. I restarted the movie because there are literally parts where the same 20 seconds play over again. And I go, did I miss? So I watch it and I have to rewind a minute back. And then I feel like I'm fucking losing it because I go, I've seen that minute 5 times now.
Dude, see, I had to rewind a bunch of times.
It is. That's the thing.
That's why, likewise, that's why I think when you watch The Room, they have sex scenes, right? You see the same shots in different sex scenes. It's fucking great. There's also one part in The Room, and Sophia pointed this out.
Is this like the cat room for you?
Yes, it is. Oh, fuck yeah, it is. No, because it's absurdly bad. It's not just bad. It's not like an inept film. It's like for instance, when that truck falls off the fucking hill.
Oh, dude. That is my favorite scene in the entire film.
How would you get to that sound design? Like, because it, okay, it's, so listeners.
It's crazy.
It has this whooshing, you know, not a truck falling sound, but supposed to be. It's like, but it keeps repeating on a loop. Like,
And then somebody was like, the glass breaking sound effect was like.
Yeah, they're pressing the button like 7 times.
Yeah. It's like, how many windows does this fucking truck have?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
at least 7.
At least 7. But see, if that was on Twin Peaks, it would be like, damn, that was nightmarish.
People would be counting the fucking glass breaks and being like, that means something.
Right. It was nightmarish. Did you feel like the music in this was for like a training video at work?
Oh, hell yeah.
You know what, dude?
Like, hello and welcome to the Patterson Dental family.
I honestly felt like they came into the intention of filming a porno.
Oh, you know what? That would make so much more sense.
And then could not pay anybody to fuck.
That's exactly what I said to
that old dude showed up with his fucking beat ass mustache, and they're like, "Nah, dude."
It definitely felt like a porno with all the fucking.
Well, with all the lack of logic too. Because okay, let's just go over minus the cat. We'll take out the cat for just a moment. These two spring break girls are at a hotel that they're trying to go to with no room and no money.
Yeah.
And
they just needed a place to kind of hang out before their cruise took off, right?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, some rich guy comes up and he's basically like, no, I'm not going to take no for an answer. You're going to come to dinner with me. It doesn't matter that you're in swimsuits. And then invites them on his yacht.
Yeah.
Which is weird enough. They accept. But before they go, they find random men and are just like, hey, we don't know you. We're going on a yacht. You should come with us because this guy's creepy.
The greatest moment in this whole film is that there is a day that's missing. There is a day that's literally missing in this movie.
That's the day they spent fucking that old dude.
So he invites them.
That's the porno. That's the separate.
That's the real film we never see. They shot him at the same party at his house
on the boat. Or I'm sorry, on the boat. We don't get to see the party, dude. Nope.
It's referenced later.
It's referenced, and it's like a day happens. A party happens on this fucking boat, and it's so rad because. Then you're just like, oh, dude, some shit must have gone down.
Yeah, they couldn't even show us.
Well, that's the thing. Like, what you may not understand. Because you knew
they were both sucking his cock. Because
it's a reference to the, like, show, don't tell in film. And this is like, no. Don't show.
Don't show, don't tell anything.
Don't show, just talk about. And that's what you go to a movie for. You don't want to see a movie. It's not a visual medium. You want to hear people talk about what happened.
The best bit is that, like, he has been dealing with these two fuckheads for 2.5 days and finally gets to the point where he's like, wait a second. We've partied together. I've invited you on my boat and we still haven't fucked. Now I'm going to try to rape you.
Yep.
Like it's what the dude?
The fact that he just throws out the threat of like kicking them off the boat so casually.
On a lifeboat.
to everybody, like the female captain, like, you know, so this is very a very progressive movie. You know, they had a female captain on this boat. That's very progressive, even feminist, you might say.
She was a weird looking motherfucker, huh?
I thought she was cute. Like,
she was sexy, but
I thought she was cute.
So the weird thing is, at first, when they showed her, I'm like, this girl looks like she's like 15. And then
what?
At first, I'm like, why is this girl so young? And then later, she looked like she was like 45. But somewhere in the middle there, she kind of looked a little bit like Taylor Swift.
Fucking sent us cease and desist orders for our t-shirts. Fuck you and your record label. I still love you, though. Don't hate me, please.
The relationship between Taylor Swift and Who Goes Their Podcast.
It's complicated, you know?
Over.
She had a fucking blank space on that cease and desist order, and she wrote the name Who Goes There.
So, like, for some context, these dudes...
We don't need any fucking context. Let's talk about a goddamn
these
cat.
These dudes had a black metal Taylor Swift tee, and now we can't do it
let's
anymore.
Let's talk about this fucking cat, by the way, because holy shit, man. There's a 10-minute scene dedicated to this cat escaping from a fucking genetics lab, and I'm like, dude, y'all are doing genetic
brilliant.
Tests? On a cat?
So
on a
house cat. It doesn't
multiple
waste
multiple of them.
Yeah. It doesn't waste any time. They're like looking at an x-ray, they're like, oh, okay, bring in that thing and we'll kill it. And then they're like, just don't let it escape. Oh, it escaped. Like, they go chasing it. And then a fucking scientist tells the security guard, give me your gun. He punks the security guard. A scientist punks a security guard, takes his gun, and then the cat just offs people.
And the things that the cat was doing, I got to tell you, man, I couldn't figure out.
Wait, the cat or the rat inside of it?
Is it a double cat?
It's a double cat, but the cat inside is bigger than the cat outside.
Right, that's the thing. Yeah, so it shows the cat coming out, which is a smaller cat.
But it's a kitten.
But then
it's
when you
kitten.
See the cat again, it's bigger than
it's
it was.
It's huge.
It's
oh
a kitten
God.
At first, right? And like that, it starts off as a baby cat.
I don't think so.
And then it gets bigger as the movie goes on, and then it turns into a regular
cat. I think this is overdue
cat.
For a remake.
I don't
that's
think
what they
so.
Should do.
I think
because I feel like that.
It's
that
the same size cat.
I feel like the inside cat got progressively bigger, and I was like, "Yes,
dude, I love yes. that." Whatever that puppet was, that thing. See, I had to rewind the movie a bunch too, but it was more of like, "Wait, what the fuck did I just see?" And like,
what's crazy about that?
When the cat jumped out of the convertible at the beginning.
What's crazy about this fucking cat, dude, is that it is so. This is all done with practical effects, right? So you have to imagine that the cat that they made that is the model of the cat is gigantic because you couldn't do these effects with a cat that's cat size.
Yeah.
So they've made a cat.
What the fuck is he saying?
I get what he's saying.
They've made cat that's cat size.
They've made a fucking cat that is like 4 times normal size to be able to get a rat from the inside of this cat.
Yeah.
And it's incredible to think that that's where they spent all of their fucking budget on this
dude,
movie.
The budget was only 200.
It's fucking crazy. Wait,
so the
as
budget
evidenced by the ship sinking at the end. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, the toy.
Yeah, that was dude, actually was a fucking, very expensive scene.
It was a
scene.
Toy in a bathtub.
Yeah, it was fucking great.
You could see the fucking hand, dude.
No, they're in a, and then they're in the fucking, the other boat getting away.
Oh, dude.
And it's like just fucking wind blowing and water splashing. And then it's like, oh, there he is.
There's
and
the
so
cat.
They fight it off. And then like some time goes by and he's like, it's not over yet.
He's back for more.
And it happens.
He literally goes, oh, shit, it's happening again.
Yeah, he says, it's not over yet. Yeah, that was good.
I love that they have the fucking presence of mind to take the money out of the fucking briefcase dude, and putting it into a backpack.
Well, that fucking idiot didn't first. At first, he was just going to throw the whole thing, and I'm like, what are you doing? and then the woman's like, hold on, stupid ass, take the money out.
He throws the briefcase, and then it shows the cat just fucking like sitting on it. It's just all, he's like, okay.
I'll just
float here on the
presumably,
case.
Presumably, the fucking regular cat is on the boat still, dude. Because the fucking inside cat's on the briefcase.
Wait, so is that what it was? Because like when they, when at the very end, when that kid goes and picks up that cat, like, it's a different cat, like 100% a different cat.
Dude.
So, like, is that the inside cat that's now outside cat?
It's a normal cat.
And does outside cat now have its own inside cat?
Dude, outside cat has died a horrible death on a fucking yacht. And inside cat is just like, I'm just here on a briefcase.
Oh my God.
Dude, that moment where they're on the fucking on the boat and they're not yet attacked by inside cat. And they look at the
inside cat versus outside cat.
They look at the briefcase and homegirl goes, that's gotta be $1 million. And she goes, enough to no, and then the fella goes, enough to buy a new boat, and she goes, enough to make research on this cat. Dude, this movie fucking is fucking crazy. Oh my
God, dude. I love that, like, all the times where it's got the actual cat in the movie, the cat's like the most docile, chill cat. It's just like laying wherever they put it down, and you can pet it, pick it up.
And here's the thing too, like, they've obviously got some aspirations in this movie.
They fucking spit wine at it.
Because I feel like somebody watched fucking Alien and was like, dude,
oh yeah,
that's what we want to do, but with a cat.
On a yacht.
On a yacht. And I kept expecting cat babies to come out of people. And yep. I was like, dude, that when the little kittens come out of the fucking people and those fucking kittens start eating
He did get all bubbly. I thought something was gonna burst out of his chest.
I gotta
oh, yeah, they try to do body horror.
I have to think that at some point somebody along the line was like, dude, cats in the body means cat coming out. Inside
cats in the body means money in the pockets.
Cats come in, cats come out. You can't explain that.
Damn. Yeah.
He's a poisonous cat too.
Yeah.
That's. I feel like this is like in some form a prequel to Mutant Blast. Little bit, wow. You know, they got
it's the, in the same universe.
Yeah, they got like the genetic engineering, and then they got the poison cat. Like if somebody would have just had like
LV-426 for fucking cats.
Let me ask you though, who is uninvited? Is the cat uninvited?
Yeah, duh.
No, because the cat was carried on board, and like they argued with the host to bring the cat on. The cat was most definitely invited. I would assume that those three jabronis were the uninvited ones.
That's what I mean.
But they were invited by the girls.
To just slap you in the face one last time, the movie's called fucking Uninvited.
And it's not the uninvited. No, it's just uninvited.
Uninvited.
Dude, how
understated.
Maybe they invited. Maybe they invited outside cat, but they didn't invite inside cat.
You know, dude, inside cat doesn't get a fucking invitation in the mail.
I wonder if he got
sitting at home going, meow.
If he got a mention in the credits, outside cat.
Outside cat or yeah. Inside cat. It's probably
dude.
Well, and the fact that it's an orange cat, very reminiscent of Jonesy, is not like lost on me.
Man. Yeah.
I think they're trying to do some things here, and I just feel like they're like, well, we fucked all our budget on the inside
cat. Okay. So $200,000 budget.
Yeah.
$75,000 went to the salaries of George Kennedy, Alex Cord, and Klugler. And then
that's the dude from Naked Gun.
And then $15,000 went to the yacht. So $90,000 is taken for the boat and the salary of three people.
An inside cat.
So that means $110,000 was for the rest of the movie.
I can dig it.
110. I mean, they got a car going off a cliff. I don't think it exploded.
A Rolls Royce limo.
Yep.
It's crazy to me. I just to
have it back out and reveal
that,
the cat.
I saw that fucking limo and I go, bro, what is happening? Because they had it twice.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I go, well, you've blown. That's got to be $10,000 of your budget just to rent a Rolls Royce limo.
That's really all this movie was just an attempt to party.
On top of that, you've got these three girls, two of which are dressed in a bikini 90% of the movie.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, well, there's got to be not that a girl in a bikini is automatically going to show her tits,
but she
this
should.
This is a B horror movie, and I go, dude, they've got to be going somewhere.
No,
and it's like,
I think they needed to, man. And I think that's where we're at right now. You know, free the nipple. Like, it's no more of this men's nipples are okay. Women, feel free to just bare your breast on film and in public and, you know,
feel free.
Yeah, feel free to free the nipple.
I thought it was kind of sexy that they got almost there.
You know what? I was there. I was into it. It was very hot.
Oh, you mean like just in terms of like the sex scenes, like the almost sex scenes?
Yeah. Well, they like kept going there, like right up to the fucking thing and it not happening.
Yeah, they're doing the unbuttoning and they're like, it's real hot in here.
Dude, that,
like,
oh, dude,
here
that,
we go,
dude,
here we
that,
go.
That scene in the kitchen when she's like, when the two girls are like, it's kind of getting hot. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it worked.
It is kind of getting hot.
It worked. Oh. And all you saw like, was I'm a about little to bit start, of inner cleavage.
Like, we're about to start fucking watching this right now. We got to pause the movie.
Maybe that's the whole thing. Maybe it's an existential exercise in getting you worked up to fuck.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Definitely what it is.
Maybe the uninvited is the uninvited feeling of horniness.
Did you guys see in the promotional material in the posters it said Graydon Clark's? So that's the writer director. Graydon Clark? Who the fuck is Graydon Clark? So I look up this guy.
He's no Clue Gulager, I'll tell you that.
In my spare time, I've looked up Graydon Clark.
Director, producer, and actor. He's done a shitload of low-budget horror films and low-budget action films. Some other titles include Black Shampoo, Psychic Killer, Satan's Cheerleaders, Angel's Revenge, Without Warning, Wacko, Joysticks, that's a great name, Uninvited, there it is, 87, Skinheads, The Forbidden Dance, et cetera, et cetera.
He stopped in 98 after Star Games.
Star Games.
What is Star
Wouldn't it be
Games?
Cool to do a deep dive on Graydon Clark and just get fucking super familiar with like his whole filmography? Ooh,
this Star Games cover, that looks like that might be right up your alley, Rhett. Like, did you see
fuck
it?
You. I haven't even seen it, but I'm already saying fuck you, though. What
Dude, do you mean? Like... There's some dork in a weird tunic. There's a crying clown. There's like something like
you
the
think
Eye
it's
of
an Ari Aster movie.
Something
dude?
Like the Eye of Sauron. Like there's a bunch of triangles.
Holy shit!
Right there, dude. Dude, Red, it's triangles.
It's a clown crying in a triangle in space.
Yep. There's a Triforce there. I think there's
This is the story of my life. Check this.
Hunted
fucking...
by an alien tyrant intent on interplanetary domination, the young prince from a faraway kingdom seeks refuge on Earth.
Check that fucking clown out.
There he meets Brian.
That's crazy because that's 98, man. That's not like that. That's
it's not 1981 public access.
1.7 stars on IMDb.
Ooh, see, that's what I'm saying.
What? Oh, hold on. What is Uninvited?
I need to get to these fucking super obscure.
That's
got to
be bonus. Who goes there? Shit. We can't be doing Graydon Clark.
Well, dude, I want to like do my own thing on these deep dives for these. Look, here's the thing. Too,
Uninvited
for this guy,
has a 4.3, and that's almost three times Star Games score.
Well, dude, consider this guy rating. Worked in the field, like in the industry, right? His first movie was 69, right? So he made like a lot of movies. So that means that he made, you know, I guess he's a successful filmmaker.
Maybe.
I guess, man. He's
not, movie cost $200,000.
He's not a successful filmmaker. He's a working filmmaker or was a working filmmaker.
That's what I mean, dude. Like you keep be consistent and that's it.
What is this dinosaur? So the, One of the girls in this has a steady career. Well, she didn't do anything for 11 years.
Mike Hammer, Private Eye. Like, I'm all over
this. Oh, hello.
She did Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3.
There's an international version that's 93 minutes long. This version features a different opening and ending, spends a bit more time developing the characters, and features a topless scene from Suzanne.
Well, okay, so we have to find it then.
It's the European special edition.
Suzanne. Let's see if Suzanne has...
Leon invited.
Let's see. Shari Chatfuck.
What do you call Inside Shatuck? Cat in... France.
Inside cat.
Ooh. Lay inside cat.
So she did some other stuff. She did Deadly Ground with Steven Seagal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Body Chemistry, Spy Hard with Leslie Nielsen.
That's a good flick.
Last thing she did was in 2015, Scream at the Devil. And that's the first thing she's done since 2000. Wow, her and the other girl stopped working in 2000, took like a plus 10-year break and then came back. That's weird.
That is weird.
But you know what? Since she had a topless scene, I'm gonna Google her name plus the word nude.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, and I don't know.
El cat all interior.
Inside cat?
It's yeah.
That's how you say inside
cat. Interior cat.
I don't know who I would.
Those are some boobies.
I don't know who I wouldn't. Let me see. Oh, dude, that's what was missing in this movie.
Oh, dude.
What's that one on the top left? That's good. Let's just watch that right now.
I also needed to see one of those dudes' dicks. I wanted to see a dick.
You know, and they had the perfect opportunity.
You're not going to see much dick,
dude. Okay, when homeboy gets bit by the cat and he's laying in bed and for some reason he can't feel his arm because of the poison from the cat.
No. He wasn't bit. He was shot.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He was shot and he couldn't feel anything in his arm and he was totally fine about it. And then that chick was going to touch his boo-boo and it was the cat chewing on his fucking hand. Yeah. They could have easily shown his dick there.
I wanted to see his dick, dude.
The
cat could have been chewing on his dick. This university student probably has a mean hog.
I wanted to see if his pubic hair was as curly as his regular hair.
I want to see it. I'm excited about
it. He's one of those good old country boys, you know, with a big old fucking...
A ropey dick.
Big old fucking schlong.
Beefy elephant trunk.
Crack look, the chrome look, before they get to their views.
How long has this dick talk been going on?
Right. We're equal opportunity, man. I also want to see a dick as much as I want to see boobs.
Yeah. Put them all on the glass.
Yeah.
Why do you want to see a schlong, though? Why?
I mean, why not, dude?
Yeah, they're not that.
Compare and contrast. Some of them are very pretty. Just saying. Some of them look weird.
They look like fucking dicks.
You look like a dick.
You look like a dick.
What was that face?
No, I was trying to look like a schlong, dude.
I'm trying to look like a
mouth,
schlong,
the little
dude.
Urethra mouth.
Wow.
That's good podcast.
I don't know who I would recommend this to, man. I want to say everyone.
I would recommend it to anybody who likes the Who Goes There podcast.
30% of our audience off the bat would not enjoy this.
Of course. No, look, if you like horrendously bad fucking movies that are so bad they're funny, like, yeah, that's this is for you.
You just don't get it.
I almost, you know what's funny is we watched Basket Case last week.
Yeah, we did.
Right?
Yeah.
And I understand that there are things about Basket Case that are supposed to be kind of like off the wall and kind of wackadoodle and whatnot. This does that sort of like hidden creature monster movie so much more ridiculously, and I enjoy this film way more than fucking.
This, well, because it's a lot more fun. No, than it has no self respect. Like it throws it out the window immediately. There's no. It's not self aware. Like Basket Case is self aware. Like immediately, you know. Like this is not.
Yeah.
This is like. Well, except it's like, do I think Graydon Clark, the guy, think he was making fucking The Godfather? No. He's like, look, this is trash. We're making trash. Let's go. But, dude, there's one thing to make trash and to be bored out of your mind. There's another to make trash when it's like got shit flying at you every 10 seconds. Like, that's fucking like that's its own
thing.
That's
one thing about this film, too. There are rarely any moments where I'm like, okay, let's step it up a little bit. No, dude, they're like, they go from blood poisoning to homegirl eating bread, and that bread eating scene is like unbelievable and it's hilariousness. I'm fucking.
You've never been as riveted by a bread eating scene as uninvited.
She goes from that moment where she's like, you know, painting her toenails to being a jerk to the captain for no reason.
None of the motivations of any of the characters in this were clear ever. Like, why did that guy spit wine on the cat? Because he's just a
cocksucker.
Yeah, and the cat kicked his ass and threw him overboard.
Dude, in that moment where the biologist comes in and goes, do you have a sextant? And she's like, of course I do.
Oh my God. Yeah. And then he's like, let me look at it. Do you have a prism?
Or a magnifying glass? And I'm like, those aren't the same things, you dumb fuck. Those are two different.
He's like, let me just MacGyver some equipment to like work as a microscope.
He somehow is able to create a microscope from a sextant and a magnifying glass, which is bonkers to me. And then he's like, oh.
The blood cell activity is through the roof, and I There's go 10 times normal blood cells, even for fresh
shit,
blood.
Holy shit, what have you done, bro? And then this, like, there's a whole COVID denial thing going on in this movie, too.
Is there?
Yeah, dude.
What do you mean COVID denial?
What's her name? She's an anti-vaxxer, bro.
Who?
The one who goes nuts.
Is she?
Yes, dude, because she's like, I don't believe it. I don't believe there's a blood poison.
She could have saved all of them.
When in Rome?
Adrenochrome.
Adrenochrome, bro.
Dude. Yeah, that whole end bit too. I love all of that.
Dude,
on the boat, the fucking the screaming. Dude,
inside cat hanging on to the fucking briefcase is so good, man. It's so fucking good.
The last, you mean the last scene right there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tight. How does the movie end though?
Well, it's so inside cat is on the shore. You see the briefcase, and then it's this little shit fuck.
Just picks him up.
The cat. And he's like, good kitty, 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 good kitty, kitty. And then it like does this like 4x zoom on the kid's face. And I go, what the fuck are you doing with this zoom? Crazy.
They're padding the runtime.
Fuck.
Well, dude, what he's doing is experimenting with filmmaking techniques, bro.
I'm in, dude.
That's why they got to repeat. He's all like, no, I need to hear the glass shattering again. He's like, they're doing shit.
They're doing some shit.
Yeah. So you like experimental cinema?
Yeah, that's no surprise.
I mean, isn't it though?
No.
He's an art house of the wide shot.
How come
before you came along, there I didn't need to evolve. I've evolved.
I don't get it.
Yeah, you wouldn't. All right, that's the Who Goes There podcast for episode 286. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt.
This is Rhett.
Matt.
Yeah, but
what's on the slate for next month?
We've got after this week, we've got Depraved December coming
Thank
up.
Thank fucking God. November has been look. Are we good? All right, so by the way, this is another movie on a fucking boat with a monster. We did Deep Rising, we did Ghost Ship. And then I was thinking about fucking Sea Fever from earlier in the year.
Yep.
It's like, this has been the year of fucking boat monster movies. Now that all these bullshit movies are gone, I can't listen to you and do this.
He's trying to talk, but he wants to join in.
Yeah, I want to like do the beat, but I can't talk to the beat. So in December, we're doing what's
Rhythm
called
is the
Depraved December.
Ugh.
Yeah,
with the D.
With the D.
Why don't you like it?
Disgusting.
Oh, it is.
It's like a cat on a briefcase.
Depraved.
Yeah. It's like a cat so on a brilliant. Briefcase. So next week, we're doing Possessor.
Oh, it's not over.
It's not over, fuck. Okay, so next week we're doing Possessor.
Rhett's getting upset.
Are we doing Motel Hell for Patreon?
Yeah, I don't know if we're doing it next week. I think we should.
Yeah, next week should be fine.
Okay, next week is Possessor. Second week of December is a film called The Mountain Kings, which is also from 2020. It's already infamous. It's super low budget and supposed to be brutal. Will it be any good? Who knows? We haven't watched it. You're strong. August Underground vibes and whatnot from that kind of thing. And then it's what might be referred to, generally speaking, as a Matt movie. But Matt hasn't seen it, so that would be premature.
I have not.
And then the third week is a film called Kill List. And the fourth week for Christmas is a nice little movie called I Spit on Your Grave from 1978. So, Merry Christmas, I Spit on Your Fucking Grave.
Yeah.
So, there's a pandemic going on. Shit's rough. You know, a lot of fucking bad shit has happened. And, you know, buckle up because it's not going to get any better. And at least you can watch these people, like, worse off than you in these films. And, that's The Mountain Kings right there.
And then after that, we have our 2020 Year in Review episode. And after that, who knows? Maybe we'll do the old Castle Freak with the new Castle Freak. Maybe we'll do a month of home invasion films. Maybe we'll just tell dick jokes and yell weird noises into the microphone.
Yeah. To the microphone. But I think, some more theme stuff is possible in the foreseeable future. I think in April, we should do a whole month of films like Uninvited. We have to scour the land.
For April Fool's Month?
Yeah, April Fool's Month.
We could do April Fool's Day.
April?
What about April, Jorge?
Is that the Reznor one?
This would be cool if they put this in the Mountain King.
They have to, right?
They do have the Hall of the Mountain King in the trailer, but not this version.
What about
because this version belongs to Social Network.
What about the Crimson King?
In the court of the Crimson King. They should put that shit. Rah. Rah.
Bump. All right. That's the Gwizzer Podcast for episode 286. This is a horse. Hey, goodbye. You're an idiot.
Oh!
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.